Podcast Network Asia.
Having a healthy life, a happy mind, and a peaceful heart. When a healthy life, you know, my go-to activities has always been just walking and playing golf. For a happy mind, my drug for that has always been my work. You know, I've been lucky enough that on a daily basis, I am surrounded with really interesting people. And lastly is a peaceful heart. You know, and I have my wife, my family, and God, you know, as my sources of strength for that.
And good evening. Welcome back to another RJ Ledesma podcast. Again, thanks so much to everybody for joining me on this lovely Tuesday evening. Again, thanks to everybody listening from all around the Philippines and all over the world to the RJ Ledesma podcast.
Have those
now, in the RJ Ledesma podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs.
I always wish the same
and
thing
learn
for
more
people
about
to
how
have,
they think about
you know,
business,
a healthy life,
what
a happy
are their
mind,
success secrets,
and a peaceful heart.
How they have innovated their businesses during this pandemic. And more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in the new normal or even the next normal? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the show? Please let me know. Drop me a message. And just to let all of you know, we are also live right now on Kumu, CBRC TV, Global Pinas, and of course, Bounce Back Network. Now, just reminding all of you, if you can, please do apply online for vaccination. From your local government unit and try to get your jab as soon as you can. And remember, every time you get your jab, hindi lang yan para sa inyong kalusugan, pati na rin yan para sa inyong pamilya, para sa ekonomiya, at para sa bayan. Again, thanks so much. Let's support. Let's get our country back on track. Let's bounce back together. Now, moving on. Again, every night, every time we do this show, I always say it's a very special guest, but this person I am totally in awe of because he's got a great story of him actually being very successful in Silicon Valley and coming back here in the Philippines to help build our own local startup ecosystem. My next guest is Mr. Jojo Flores, who is the co-founder of Plug and Play Tech Center, a Silicon Valley-based technology startup accelerator, which he began back in January 2006. Now, Plug and Play at present accelerates over 2,000 tech startups yearly from all over the world, in over 35 global offices, which has an access to a network of angel investors, venture capital firms, and over 520 large corporations. Now, since inception, Plug and Play startups have been able to raise in excess of $9 billion in funding, and they've got Plug and Play ventures in over 1,000 companies in its portfolio, which include 14 unicorns like PayPal, Dropbox, Lending Club, SoundHound, among many others. Now, Jojo eventually returned to the Philippines in 2016, where he set up Launch Garage. Now, Launch Garage is an accelerator and investor in tech startups in the Philippines and the ASEAN region. Jojo currently advises startups in the country, which include PearlPlay, Tangere, Taxumo, Magpie, Mober, Galileo, among many others. And many of them are very good friends of mine as well in the startup community. And last but not the least, this one very important for me, is a board of trustee at De La Salle Lipa, as well as a board member of Animal Labs of De La Salle University. Can I please welcome here to the show right now, Mr. Jojo Flores. Jojo, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Good evening. Good evening, RJ. Thanks for having me. And good evening or good morning, wherever you are, to your audience. Great. Wonderful being here.
Jojo, thanks so much for taking time out. You know what? The funny thing is, you know, Jojo has got Plug and Play around the world, and he's usually traveling all over the world. But I found when I spoke to his daughter earlier today that because of this pandemic, this is the first time in about 25 years that you've actually been stationary in one place. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Normally, I do about 140 boarding passes a year. For the first time in 25 years, zero. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. How does it feel for you not to be traveling? What did you learn from all, you know, not the traveling? Did, were you actually able to become more efficient in business? What are these sort of like golden nuggets or silver linings that you picked up as a result of this?
I think the best learning I've had since for the last year, you know, is that my family, especially my wife, can actually live that entire year with me and not. So I'm not mad after all.
Yeah. I think my wife probably shares the same opinion.
Yeah, but in business, you know, the thing is, you just need to be agile enough and flexible to adapt to these changes. And thank God we've been able to go through this whole challenging times. It's amazing. Our last year, 2020, we actually had 20% growth.
Wow.
Compared to 2019. You know, we increased our headcount from about 500 to over 600 now. And things have been really getting better. And 2021, I'm sure, is going to be a blast for us.
I would say not under duress, but during the pandemic, you grew by 20%. What do you attribute it to? Was it because of the pandemic or despite of the pandemic? What was happening that allowed you to still grow even during this time?
The measurement of our growth, when I say 20%, is our engagement with our corporate partners. And I think during this pandemic, they were able to further realize that more than ever, innovation and technology plays a vital role in building their businesses. So, and the whole process of accelerating that innovation becomes, you know, faster when they engage with startups. And that's really what we offer on the table for these conglomerates.
I see. I there was a joke that was going around in the midst of the pandemic saying, what is helping you accelerate your digital transformation? Is it the CEO? Is it the chief information officer? Or is it COVID? So COVID, I guess, really helped accelerate other businesses, which in effect haloed off on you guys being your partners.
Yeah. I mean, we see it here in the Philippines as well with the growth of e-commerce. I mean, even GCash, you know, if I'm not mistaken, their results for last year was even larger or bigger in terms of volume compared to their last 3 years before pandemic. So that's the silver lining that we're experiencing here. And same thing with government. I think we're closing a lot of deals with the government to help accelerate startups, as well bring in new technologies into the country. So it's very exciting.
Joe, I really want to get into the meat of things and talk about your own entrepreneurial journey. Because you run basically plug and play, no? And recently, in an E27 article I saw, you were talking about plug and play. You were talking about the Philippines as being a really great destination for people to do business in, for foreigners or for foreign corporations to do business in. And, you know, as a result of this crisis, many people don't seem to see that sort of silver lining. And I often tell people, you know, it depends on your mindset. If you say, parang, ang daming problema sa Pilipinas, I wanna leave and migrate. But ibang tao naman, ang daming problema sa Pilipinas, I wanna move there and solve those problems because that's where I'm gonna make money. How do you see right now the Philippines? Why do you think it's a great place to do business now? Why are you inviting people from the outside to come over here?
Well, thanks for that question. By the way, I have to correct you a little bit. That article was actually written by my daughter.
Wow, okay.
So it was Cody who wrote that. Of course, she got a little guidance from me, but it was her. But anyway, going back, you know, as we said in the article, you know, I think the excitement that the Philippines can offer to foreign startups or even investors is really great, and so. First, our population. You know, it's a very healthy population. We have a healthy, well, prior to the pandemic, we were posting really healthy GDP growth, you know, in the 6-7% range, which I think is even higher than a lot of our Southeast Asian neighbors. Second is the Filipino love. The Filipinos love to be online. No? So I think we spend about 10 hours a day online. And about 4 hours of this is even spent on social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. No? In terms of our internet economy, right now it's still at about $7 billion, but we think that it'll grow in the next 5 years to about $30 billion. And again, the government is also seeing this as a big opportunity for to move the needle in terms of our GDP growth. And finally, the Innovation Act and the Innovative Startup Act was put into law about 2 years ago. And we are now in the process of working with government to having these provisions in the law materialize. In terms of sectors, you know, we do have a strong OFW market. We have a strong BPO market, and I think this opens up a lot of opportunities, especially in the financial services sector. You know, we also have to note that, you know, about half of our population are either underbanked or unbanked. Now, so again, this is a big opportunity for fintech companies to explore, not just local companies, obviously, but the ones also abroad. And finally, I still believe that agriculture is a big sector for us to look at. And I think there's a lot of next generation technologies there in farming that we can explore, as well the use of IoT devices and data analytics so that we can improve yield, you know, both in crops and also with produce, other produce and animals. And so, again, the future really looks bright for the Philippines. And I think we speak really good English. So for those, especially the ones coming from Europe or from the United States, it's a great place to be at. And plus, of course, our beaches, you know, yeah. It's great.
That's your bonus for people that want to outsource their businesses to the Philippines.
Yeah, absolutely.
But having said that, just looking at the situation, I mean, that's basically sort of like what we showed. That's our presentation deck to them. That is how lovely the Philippines is here right now. With the pandemic that sort of stepped in and put a bit of a halt to our growth, how do you see it in this whole picture of things? Does it affect the longer-term picture of the Philippines when this pandemic came in? Or does it even improve things? Because as you know, for the BPO sector, like in the States back in 2009, the BPO grew the fastest in the Philippines because when the economic recession occurred, they were looking for another place to come and they moved over here. That was a silver lining for us. Do you think also that there's some sort of silver lining or something that is being worsened by this pandemic?
I like to think that it's going to be a positive effect, RJ. The one example that I gave a while ago was on financial services, you know, and so more and more the need for contactless transactions has become more important in our lives. No, again, you know, tapping into that market segment that's underbanked and unbanked, you know. For micro financial products, you know, either loans or insurance, I think still in its infancy stage, and certainly these are sectors that can grow. This whole situation that with the COVID actually accelerates the need for these technologies to be implemented in the country.
Thanks for that. And actually, I understand right now that what you guys are doing with Plug and Play that. You are you're in collaboration with the Global Innovation Alliance. What are you exactly doing, and how is it going to be helping the Philippines as well?
We are currently working with Enterprise Singapore, which is the government agency that's handling this. And the Global Innovation Alliance is one of their projects. Mm-hmm. The concept is to bring Singaporean startups expand in the regional markets, including the Philippines. So we've been doing this already in Indonesia, in the Philippines. We'll start it this year. We're also looking at doing this in the EMEA market, possibly China and Japan, Korea. You know, those markets. And interestingly enough, this project we have presented to our own Department of Trade and Industry, and we are now in the process of actually identifying 5 to 10 startups that we can help accelerate by giving them heightened access to the network that we have at Plug and Play in the other markets like Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore, and the likes. So this whole concept is really to transfer knowledge, transfer technology from one market to another. And we think that that's that's really the best way to treat innovation and technology is to have it available for everybody quickly.
Hello, this is Agnes Ravacho, CEO at MDI Novaria Technologies. Come listen to My Digital Impact, where I talk about customer experience obsession with fellow business leaders, about relatable moments on customer excellence, and teachable experiences on customer service. My Digital Impact is available wherever you listen to your podcasts, powered by Podcast Network Asia. Check us out after listening to this one.
The Singaporean startups which want to come to the Philippines, and the reason they want to come here were those why you cite what you cited earlier on about the English language and then the fintech. Is that one of the key reasons why Singaporean startups would like to move over here, or at least explore expanding into the country?
Absolutely, you know, they see the Philippines as a great market to grow their products, their services, their businesses. And these companies are already successful in their own rights, in their own markets. They're just looking for other markets to explore. So we're using this whole platform now in order for that to be possible. And I think it's also going to be good for the Philippine scene, because instead of us trying to create products, you know, that will solve our problems, these solutions are already existing. And all you need to do is just bring it in and use it immediately. You know? So again, that's the acceleration of technology.
It's nice because it's sort of like, you know, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. If somebody's already, you're just finding the right solution to solve your problem, sort of fix it. What I would often say is that sometimes a solution that we can discover here in the Philippines might actually be a solution that can reapply not just to us as a developing country, but also to other countries as well. That's how we're able to bring our own startups to other countries.
That's right. You know, like for example, one of the startups that we're helping out, PearlPay, they do a banking software solution specifically geared for our rural banks to bring them up to par, right? Today we have, if I'm not mistaken, we have about 2,700 rural banks in the Philippines. And these guys, you know, when they approached me, they said, you know, can you help us expand to Indonesia? You know, because apparently Indonesia has close to 10,000 rural banks. Wow. So we brought them in and helped them get a CEO. And unfortunately, you know, they were in the middle of fundraising for that entity, but COVID happened. So we're putting that a little bit on the back burner. But we are very keen on expanding that solution from the Philippines now to Indonesia.
So that's the really incredible thing that people, you know, in a country, the bigger the problem, I mean, the more problems you find, the better the solution. So I guess that's really where I often tell people that's where the entrepreneurial mindset comes in. I mean, don't see these things as problems, see them as pain points which you can solve.
Even plug and play, you know, even plug and play. When we started this in 2006, I remember I was driving along 101 and there was no traffic. So I go to Saeed, who's my boss and my partner, said, you know, what's happening? You know, why is there no traffic along 101? And he said, Jojo, you know, you have to realize the bubble had just burst. I just came back from Europe then to move back to the US. And he said, the bubble had just burst. 300,000 people lost their jobs. But the 300,000 people who lost their jobs also meant that there were a lot of startups that were being built. When we were looking for the market to sell the real estate that Plug and Play was at that time, the startups became our target market.
Well, so you know, if you think about it, startups were accelerated by the recession in the States.
Yes,
that's exactly it. That's where Instagram, Pinterest, Groupon, Uber, Airbnb came out of that recession.
Yeah, during that time was when, you know, and it was easier for them to build teams, you know, because a lot of people were looking for jobs and they were looking for their next stint, you know. So it was a little bit easier, okay, to build teams during that time.
Now, having said that, Joe, I mean, just to be clear, so many people who might not be too knowledgeable about it, no, Plug and Play is a business that you put up in the States, which is an accelerator. And you came home to the Philippines to also put up something similar to Plug and Play, which was called Launch Garage. For the people who might not be in the know or who aren't involved in the startup community, what's the difference of an accelerator in just putting up a business? What's the difference?
Accelerator, what as the word says, you know, it accelerates a process, you know. In the case of startups, an accelerator comes in to accelerate that process of them to become more successful. You know, hopefully, I mean, that's the end goal, obviously, right? Most accelerators do this by coaching them, mentoring them, you know, how do you put together a pitch deck? You know, how do you go about business modeling? How do you do product market fit, et cetera, et cetera? You know, in the case of Plug and Play and Launch Garage, though we do those things as well, where we focus on is trying to accelerate the success of a startup by giving them access to our network of number one, mentors, experts, and advisors. So that's number one. Number two is we give them access to potential investors, whether angel or early stage investors or institutional investors like VCs, even corporate VCs or CVCs. And thirdly, we give them access to corporate relationships or partnerships. No? So, you know, these corporations that we work with, they do have their innovation strategies. No? But gone are the days when all R&D is just done internally. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of these corporations now are opening themselves to working with startups, you know, because startups may already have the solutions that they're looking for, right? We accelerate the startups by giving them access to these corporations. And so as an example, one of our most successful vertical that we are running is with the mobility or automotive industry with Daimler in Stuttgart. They came to us and said, we plan on building, this was in 2016. We have this campus, which they're calling Arena 2036. And they said, all of the new innovation in the Mercedes-Benz car will come out of Arena 2036. Now, they said, today, the value of the car is 80% hardware and 20% software. But that will change in 10 years. Okay, 80% of the value of the car is going to be software and 20% hardware. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about it, that's really where Tesla is going. It's becoming more and more a software car rather than a just a hardware car. But anyway, so, and then Daimler said, you know, we've been around for 100 years. We're great metal benders, but we don't know software. So here comes Plug and Play to bring them software solutions that touch the connectivity of the car, that touch the self-driving feature of the car, electric vehicle technology, as well as ride-sharing technologies. No, this is how we work with Daimler. And over the last years, I believe they've done already like 30 or 50 pilots already with our startups. And by the way, we do this in globally in Silicon Valley, in Stuttgart, and in Singapore. And now we're expanding it also over to Shanghai. It's a global search for the best technologies that can go inside the car, mostly software technologies. So this is, you know, and we do this in 18 other industry verticals, you know, including, you know, brand and retail, smart cities, sustainability, et cetera, et cetera. So we see a lot of companies in a lot of industries, which is very, very interesting.
In your estimation, what do you look for in good startups? Which are the startups that you really want to join Plug and Play and or Launch a Garage?
Let me answer that looking at that from two different angles. First, as an investor, okay, we do invest as well. As you mentioned earlier during the introduction, we typically look, we do very early stage investments. So our average ticket price is between $100,000 to $150,000 only, which is in our space really small and early. Okay. At that stage, though, we do look at three T's. Okay. First is the team. Second is the technology itself. And third is traction. Among those three T's, it's really the team that is most important for us. In my case, I like using that 70% of in the criteria. Okay, the team has to really be solid and smart, and they have domain expertise and all of these things. And the most importantly, if we can see that these guys can really deliver on what they're saying, you know, that they have that capacity. So that's on the investment side. Of course, we also look at, you know, what problem are you trying to solve? How big is that problem? And at the end of the day, you know, can you become a $1 billion company? Because that is very important. In our game, because I only invest in 1 out of 300 that we see. On the acceleration side, however, we take the lead of our corporate partners, you know, same as like the example that I had given you with Daimler, with Mercedes-Benz. They gave us what to look for. What we do is we do the heavy lifting of looking or searching for those startups that address those particular technology searches or pain points or problem statements that our partners give us. If there's a match, then we bring them into the acceleration. So it's totally different. You know, on the investment side, it's risky because we don't know what's going to happen. But on the acceleration side, the problem has been defined. And then if we see the solution, if it matches, then the acceleration happens and hopefully the pilot happens. Or in the case of Daimler, for example, they were looking for AI-driven sound technologies and semantics. And we brought them a company. And together with Tencent, they put in $100 million into the company, you know, wow, after using them as well. So these are the sort of stories that, or success stories that we hope to come out of these acceleration programs.
Have you just noticed any sort of like common denominators with regard to whether it's the team, whether it's the industry that they're solving, or other characteristics that maybe, you know, I'm a startup, what should I look into, or what characteristics are you specifically looking for?
The team plays a big role both on the investment side and the acceleration side. Also, what's important is that these smart fellows that are building products, you know, they build products that are market driven, you know. The thing is, what we've seen in the past is a lot of engineers building products, you know, because they just like build those products and not asking whether someone will want it, buy it, you know, or even interested in it, you know. And in our case, the products or the startups that we see are solving real problems that are given to us by our corporate clients.
What was that point when you were doing it na medyo natakot? Was that a point that you thought you would almost fail in that business, that it wouldn't succeed? And how did you, I guess, surpass that moment?
After we opened the doors to Plug and Play, the real estate bubble in the US burst. And if you recall, you know, this was the late 2000s. Yeah, yeah. There was a little bit of a depression in the US that was triggered by bad real estate deals, right? You know, it was a scary moment, you know, because I didn't know whether we could meet our mortgage payments and all of these things. But, you know, we just needed to be more positive. And we have considered ourselves really strong, a really strong sales organization. And I remember during those trying times, those trying years, was also the time when we really worked hard selling. And in fact, the real estate community in the Bay Area were kind of surprised at what we had accomplished, because instead of us kind of folding, we actually filled the building in less than 18 months.
Looking at the landscape here in the Philippines, I'm sure you've seen many of those companies coming up. Do you see any potential unicorns? And if you do, what type of business are they in? Or if you want to mention their names, please feel free to do so. If there's some that you see.
If we can consider GCash as a startup, then I think that's the nearest we have in the finish line. With the last raise that they did, although it wasn't officially specified or announced, but they said it was nearly $1 billion valuation. No? Wow. So I would imagine that that could be our the one that's nearest the finish line. But the far second, we do have platforms like Kumu, like Leica, you know, that could potentially be developed as our own super apps, right? And I think that's the race that we're trying to accomplish right now. Maybe if Coins wasn't bought out earlier by Gojek, maybe it could have been one candidate for us, for the Philippines unicorn, no? But certainly, I think fintech and financial services area would produce, like GCash, would produce our unicorns, and social media platforms that can develop into super apps would be my guess and my bet.
Hello there, Chinky Tan here, motivational speaker, wealth coach, best-selling author, and now host of Chink Positive Podcast, a podcast that aims to help you to become wealthy and debt-free by teaching you on how to save, budget, get out of debt, and invest. Powered by Podcast Network Asia. Available on wherever you get your podcasts. See you there!
Joe, moving on now, another question I wanted to ask you was that, okay, you were doing good in Silicon Valley. You put a plug and play, and look how big it is now internationally. But you chose to come home and make your base of operations, at least personally, back here in the Philippines, and to put up Launch Garage. What motivated you to come back home from Silicon Valley? You could have made a life over there, but then you came back over here. For some people, we call that, you know, like people like Roland Ross of Kuma, I call it the reverse American dream. Diba? He was born there, but wants to come here. But you grew up here, you lived in Europe, Silicon Valley, came back here. What motivated you to come back here?
As I said, you know, during my entire career with Saeed, living in Europe and then in the US, during that time, my family lived here in the Philippines. So I would commute, you know, back and forth and 8 times a year to the Philippines to spend some time with the family. But I guess it was started around 2013, 2014, when my kids sat me down and said, you know, we want you to stay longer here in Asia or Manila with us. My youngest, I remember, said, I thought you're the boss. You know, why can't you just move back to the Philippines? My main motivation was my family. I really wanted to spend more time with them. They were already growing up, no? So it was very important, I think, for me to spend time with them now, especially during these years. Launch Garage was an idea, actually, that came from one of our Lasallian friends. It was actually my classmate since we were in first grade. His name's Jay Fajardo. He said, Jojo, tara, tayo tayo ng real innovation hub built by founders for founders. So that was really interesting for me. And I think it was time also to really focus on giving back sharing resources to our startup community here.
Wow. So it's sort of like things came full circle. And if you think about it, I'm just asking, you know, it's Launch Garage, it's not plug and play, or is it plug and play Philippines? What is it?
It is Launch Garage. It is Launch Garage. When I came back and I said, oh, I want to put up like a plug and play here in the Philippines, he said, oh, do you need me? I said, no, not really. So you can do it yourself? Yeah, I can do it myself. So we just did it ourselves. But of course, you know, I do use the network that we have at Plug and Play, you know, like, for example, the example that I gave you with Pearl Pay, you know, bringing them in Indonesia, you know, and a lot of Philippine startups that we identify to go through our various acceleration programs here in the region.
Wow. What a great story. And what do you see next? I guess, for the startup industry here in the Philippines and the Philippines in general, given everything? Because you've got a great perspective, both, I would say, parochial and, of course, a global perspective of the Philippines in terms of the startup community. And, of course, given this pandemic, you know, as an extra layer of interest, diba, where do you see us moving next as a country and as a startup community?
I think my prime time is nearly ending. The next for me should not be me anymore, I think. You know, instead, I like to give it to this opportunity to the people around me, you know, who would like to carry this baton, you know, in the next mile of this journey. And as I mentioned, my daughter who wrote that article, Cody, so she started working for me in Plug and Play last year as a ventures analyst focusing here in the Philippines. No? I'm hoping that she'll have fun with it. You know, I'm hoping that she learns from it. I'm hoping that she can build a career on it. You know, so and same goes with other young members of my team. You know, I always try to make them realize that we have a special thing going on here. You know, while more than 99% of the world are mere users and spectators of innovation and new technologies, Plug and Play has that extraordinary role of being an enabler to what could happen in the future. So, and that's a very powerful thing to have in your hands, right? And so I hope that next phase is, so I hope I can use that time now to help these people around me cherish it and also, more importantly, be responsible for it. No, so I think it's very important. I think that's very important, you know, that we continue having a purposeful business, you know, that can impact our communities, that can impact our industries, that can impact the country, if not the world. It's a nice playground. No?
I like when you talk about purposeful business. And I often find that there's a higher purpose, you know, start with the why, what Simon Sinek would say. And I just want to figure out, I mean, I often ask people, like when I people like Bo Sanchez here on the show, or people like David Almirol of Multisys, who's been very steeped in his faith as well. How does that in general also inform what you've been doing all these past years? How does it keep you going? How does the faith life inform what you do?
You know, again, at my age, I really try to live a balanced life. For me, this means having three things, you know, having a healthy life, a happy mind, and a peaceful heart. When a healthy life, you know, I've unfortunately never been a sportsman, you know, so my go-to activities has always been just walking and playing golf. No, so that's how I try to keep myself healthy. For a happy mind, my drug for that has always been my work. You know, I've been lucky enough that on a daily basis, I am surrounded with really interesting and smart people. That has been my go-to to keep my mind happy. And lastly is a peaceful heart, you know, and I have my wife, my family, and God, you know, as my sources of strength for that. And so I really encourage everybody to have those simple sets of guidance, you know, as you go through life. I always wish the same thing for people, to have, you know, a healthy life, a happy mind, and a peaceful heart.
If there are some people here right now who are in the startup phase and they wish to join Launch Garage or even Plug and Play, how do they go about that?
Oh, we do have our websites, so you can reach out to us there. But I have a really simple email address. It's Jojo. You know, fortunately, I'm still the only Jojo in Plug and Play, so there should be no confusion. And Jojo at PNPTC.com. So that's Papa, Norway, Papa, Tango, Charlie. PNPTC, which is Plug and Play Tech Center.com.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rabir. Jojo, thanks so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. I hope you get to catch up in time for the prayer meeting after this one. And again, Thank you for joining us on the RJ Ledesma podcast. If you're learning and enjoying a lot this podcast, please subscribe and invite more people and friends to listen to the RJ Ledesma podcast. Again, guys, thanks so much. Have a great week ahead. Maraming salamat. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.